thought there will never be no love at all. I've got to put aside name segregation.
99.5 FM WBAI New York and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock and time for Back of the Book.
Back of the Book. Back it up, right?
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to all 35 years Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about a few things here on this program this morning, and you can find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can look around at things up there. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of the screen, and it will say at the top, latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that, and you'll be at the web page for tonight's, for this morning's program. And yes, we do a separate web page for each and every program. Oh boy, we don't have 35 years of them up there, but we do have about 23 years of them up there. Oh man. Anyway, the WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. This is our 57th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. And this program was recorded on Friday, mostly, for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program is not as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what you have to do in these dangerous times. And the big story, internationally, intergalactically, of the past week is, we are back up to 113 followers on Twitter. Oh, the world shudders at such power to attract that many followers on Twitter. The next public WBAI local station board meeting is scheduled to be held this coming Wednesday, September 8th, 2021, at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. And we'll probably be talking about various different things on this meeting. And there you can tune in and go up to kpftx.org and see how to listen in. And according to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 219,473,393 on Friday. and global deaths reached 4,547,932. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 39,640,020, and the death toll in America was 644,468. So it looks like 10,119 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. The death rate in America is up again significantly, and this has become a pattern over the last couple of months here. So it looks like we're back in the bad old days when we were having this kind of thing. We used to have some even larger death tolls for a week, but, you know, we'd gotten down to, I think, below 2,000 for a while there, and now we're over 10,000 again. And, of course, areas with a lot of unvaccinated people are supplying the victims for most of the deaths. ICU beds in those areas are somewhere between hard and impossible to find. And we're also seeing that a great many kids are getting it. The pediatric units in some hospitals are 100% jammed with kids with COVID-19. And this is no joke. One, yeah, kids can die of it too. Two, we don't know what's going to happen to these kids because they're getting it now. Will they have long-haul COVID? Will they be affected for the rest of their lives? As they grow, are they going to have problems with their lungs from all of this? These are questions that nobody knows the answers to yet because this is the first big batch of kids to get it, and you have to wait and see what happens to the kids. So this is terrible. If more people were vaccinated and wore masks, and if we could have stopped this virus by now, we wouldn't be having this huge influx of children showing up in the hospitals and getting sick and in some cases dying. This is terrible stuff. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of the figures I've quoted will be higher, of course. And as I keep saying, this was all mostly preventable. This did not have to happen. Over 644,000 dead in America and over 4.5 million dead in the world. And that's certainly a low figure. Both of those are low figures. We know that. And it didn't have to happen. We've also, in the past week, had more instances of people denouncing vaccines and mask wearing, and then dying of COVID-19. Robert David Steele went on right-wing radio programs calling COVID-19, quote, a hoax, unquote. And he said, quote, I will not take the vaccination, though I did positive for whatever they're calling COVID today, unquote. He put that in a blog on August 17th. And then he said, quote, the bottom line is that my lungs are not functioning. The good news is that I will survive with a few days off, unquote. So this asshole thought that maybe he didn't need lungs? You know, your lungs are one of the most delicate parts of your body, and they're exposed to the world because all that air gets in, and whatever's in the air gets in. This is why if you breathe toxic fumes, it can kill you in a second. Doesn't have to be exotic toxic fumes. An ordinary fire, you inhale that stuff, and it can kill you right there. You can be dead before you hit the ground. Happens every day that people die of smoke inhalation. And so I don't know how he can say his lungs aren't functioning, but he'll be back in a few days. Well, of course he died. And this is so typical of a lot of these people. This is happening more and more. Also, three of the right-wing radio guys who've been anti-vax, and this Steele guy wasn't a radio guy. He went on their programs because he was a big anti-vaxxer. But three right-wing radio guys who have been anti-vax, as they call it, including one fool named Mark Bernier, who actually called himself Mr. Anti-Vax. These three, including Mr. Anti-Vax, have died in a little over a week. We talked about one of them a week ago, and two more have died. And this is, you know, well, I guess they won't be spreading their nonsense in the radio anymore. And Texas anti-mask freedom defender Caleb Wallace has died at the age of 30 of COVID-19. He died last Saturday. He was the leader of a group of, quote, freedom defenders, unquote, who were against mask restrictions. Yeah, you can't wear those masks. And we see, we even have had disruptions here in the city. We've had pickets of things by anti-mask idiots, all sorts of city council type meetings and committee meetings have been disrupted by anti-maskers showing up. And it's like, wow, you people are really stupid. One, it's a mask. It's not a big deal. Two, it's something that is proven to save lives. Coincidentally, I suppose, a new study has come out saying, yeah, masks work. Using a mask really, really does it. And, oh, man, it's tremendous how helpful having masks on works. This has been known for a lot of people for many years. In Asia, they know about this because sometimes you'll see persons of East Asian ethnicity in New York City. And in the before times, sometimes they'd be wearing a mask, a little, you know, the surgical mask we're all used to today. And you'd see them wearing those. And the basic deal is the courtesy in like Japan is if you have a cold, you wear a mask so you don't infect anybody else or you lower the probability of infecting anybody else. And of course, we don't have anything like courtesy here in America. Courtesy in America? Bleep that noise. Anyway, so people have been using masks for, I guess, decades or hundreds of years to prevent the spread of disease. This is not new stuff, but the study proves that wearing a mask helps to slow down, at least, the progression of COVID-19. And it also has shown how useful it is because where'd the flu epidemic go this year? We get a flu epidemic every year. Where was the 2020, 2021 flu epidemic? It didn't happen. Why? So many people were wearing masks. It's just proven that this works. And so you've got these people showing up, disrupting things, calling names, in some cases, committing assault and battery on other people over, oh, our freedom. And, of course, there's a big battle in various places, especially down in Florida, where the governor says no mask mandates because he wants to run for Republican president. And I don't think he's going to make it. And so some of the Florida school districts are saying, you know, that's not a good idea. And they're saying, everybody wear a mask in this school. And some people are picketing them and going after them and attacking them. And the governor is withholding paychecks from all of them. Meanwhile, the Justice Department is looking into the possibility that the governor of Florida is committing a crime. He is. He's trying to get all these kids to go get sick. The governor of Florida wants to have the Florida intensive care units filled up with kids. The pediatric ICUs are already getting filled up, and they're just going to be filled up with nothing but COVID-19 people. In fact, there was a guy who died of a heart attack the past week or so. He died of a heart attack because they couldn't find a hospital to bring him to because they were jam-packed with people suffering from COVID-19. So this is just keeping on going on. And the governor of Florida, really, keep it in mind, the governor of Florida is trying to kill the school children. That's the bottom line that's going on here. And one hopes he's made to pay for that. And it's Labor Day weekend, I'll point out. And the CDC has advised people not to travel this Labor Day weekend. For some of you, it's too late to hear this because you've already traveled somewhere. But here we are. And if you haven't traveled yet, but you're thinking about going somewhere, the CDC says, hold off on that because we've had 10,000 plus people die this past week. That is way up. So don't do that. And of course, even if you're fully vaccinated, you're in some danger, not as much danger as you would be unvaccinated. But we do know, as we've quoted here in a previous program, an unvaccinated person surrounded by vaccinated people is far safer from getting COVID-19 than a vaccinated person who's surrounded by unvaccinated people. Because it will go through all of them, and then there will be a viral load in the air that will be very, very hard to resist. And if you get enough viruses in your system from the outside, it's going to be a big battle. You will have the fight going on, but you'll be able to put up the fight if you're vaccinated. See, that's the deal. It isn't that, oh, it never gets into you. Of course it can get into you. You're breathing. You're inhaling. You inhale, bang, you're going to get some virus in there. The deal is, can your immune system knock it out before it does damage? And in some cases, if you've got a lot of virus coming in, your immune system's going to be kicking into high gear and you're going to get sick because that's what happens. The immune system will kind of make you sick, which is what it does, and it will be fighting the virus. You might get a fever, which is your immune system fighting the virus. There will be swelling and inflammation, again, the immune system fighting the virus, and all of this will be going on, but the odds are really, really, really low that you'll die of it, and the odds are also pretty damn low that you will get very, very sick and need to be hospitalized. So this is... this is a strange place we're living in right now. I'm sure that there will be a lot of books written about these times because, well, they aren't exactly unprecedented. Somebody has unearthed an article from a newspaper from 1903. And in it, they talk about an anti-vaxxer. He says, smallpox isn't contagious. Yeah, smallpox. Smallpox isn't contagious. It doesn't hurt you. And he wasn't going to get the smallpox vaccination. And he was preaching. It's just exactly the same as these idiots are doing today. And he was doing it in 1903. And, you know, oh, man, what is that, 117 years ago? This guy is 118 years ago, 118 years ago. This guy is doing the exact same stupid thing that all of these other people, these anti-vaxxer people are doing today. And he's screaming about it. And, oh, yes, the news article was about how he died of smallpox. So, yeah, people like Robert David Steele, Mark Bernier, and Caleb, what's his name? They are all following in the footsteps of another jackass from 118 years ago. My godlessness. Oh, I think I'm required to pitch right about now. Okay. This is WBAI New York, and we are listener-sponsored non-commercial radio. And we are non-commercial because we don't run real commercials. What we do is we beg you to support us, become our sponsor. That's why we're called listener-sponsored radio. And one of the big ways management wants people to become listener sponsors is to become a BAI buddy. BAI buddy is the name we give to our sustaining membership, where you donate a certain amount of money every month to this radio station. If you donate a certain amount every month to the radio station, you become a BAI buddy. And so, if you would like to become a BAI buddy, call 1-212-209-2950. You'll get a call center. When the person at the call center picks up, you'll say, "I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book." It's important to say the name of this radio program because that tells management that we have listeners. That's an important thing these days. And not only listeners, but contributors. That's also a very important thing these days. Management is paying a lot of attention to that. And so what you would do is you'd say, "I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book." And then you would tell them how much you would like to donate per month. It can be $5 a month or $10 a month, $15 a month or $20 a month. More if you could, but that's $5 to $20 a month is what I think most listeners can deal with. And then you tell them what day of the month you would like your credit card or debit card charged. And they'll set it up, and that's what will happen. Once a month, on the date that you specify, you will be charged, your credit card or debit card will be charged $5 or $10 or $15 or $20, whatever you set it to charge it. So if you say, you know, charge me $5 a month on the 13th of the month, then that'll happen. Every 13th of the month, they'll hit your credit card or debit card with a $5 charge, and that will go to BAI, and that will help a whole lot. Part of the thing here is that it gives WBAI a steady source of revenue instead of, "Oh boy, what do we get this time?" which is what happens a lot. How much money are we going to have this month? Well, nobody knows yet. Well, this helps to regularize things so management can figure out how to pay the bills. And there are a lot of bills. The general manager has stated that it costs about $120,000 a month to run WBAI. Now, for a regular radio station, that's a pittance. That's nothing. They get a lot more than that from one commercial. At BAI, we don't have those commercials. We're not sponsored by car companies or toothpaste companies or any of that stuff. We're sponsored by you, you the listener. So please, if you can, please get up, go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950 and say, "Yeah, we want to become a member of WBAI. We want to become a BAI buddy." And you'll tell them if you want to donate $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, whatever, and what day of the month you want to be charged for it. Please, 1-212-209-2950. If you could get up and dial that number now and call in and become a BAI buddy, we'd really appreciate it. I mean, right now, we only have two BAI buddies for Back of the Book. We need to get more of you to become BAI buddies. 1-212-209-2950. Please give them a call at that number now. And here in New York State, we have our first woman governor. Kathy Hochul showed up and became governor, and there she is. And it was interesting in the aftermath of the floods and the great storm. She was standing there next to de Blasio and Schumer, and I think she's the same height as Pickles and I, because these guys were towering over her. And oh man, look at that. Now de Blasio, the idiot, is like 6 foot six, and so he's, you know, quite tall. He's usually taller than everybody around him. But she was much, much shorter than these two guys and other people too. And so it was interesting to see a short woman is the governor. Okay. Maybe it gives Pickles of the North an idea. Think you'll run for governor one day, my dear?
Oh, maybe perhaps Queen of Brooklyn. I don't know.
Oh, that's an idea. We could do that. We could have a contest and make Pickles of the North Queen of Brooklyn. We would add that on to her name here on the program. It would be Radio's Pickles of the North and Queen of Brooklyn. Or no, Queen of Brooklyn, Radio's Pickles of the North. I think maybe it would come out better that way.
Although it's more likely I would be just like a handmaiden or something.
Oh, my God. Listen.
Or court jester of Brooklyn.
Oh, God. Well, I think we already have somebody filling that role. Elected to it. We won't get into it because we're not going to get into it in any event. Speaking of elections, there are elections going on right now in Pacifica, and people are running for the local station board. And if you're a listener, you should really educate yourself about this, because if you're a listener sponsor, you should have gotten an email from something called Simply Voting. That's the name of the organization that handles the actual voting and stuff, because nobody in Pacifica is competent to handle something like that, so they hire this company. And so, yes, you should educate yourself, find out who it is who would like to give WBAI away, and yes, there are still people who are saying, oh, let's give WBAI away to a cable access outfit in Manhattan, and find out about who says what, and then vote accordingly. Educate yourself about these listener candidates and vote accordingly. And no, unless you're staff, you can't vote for me, because only staff vote for staff and listeners vote for listeners. But please find out who's in favor of what and vote accordingly. And remember, there are at least two people running who really are nuts. Oh, and the middle third is over. Yeah. The middle third ended Wednesday. It just, you know, September 1st showed up as usual. There was some hope that it might not show up, but it showed up anyway. That damned calendar. And so, yeah, the middle third of the year, the months of May, June, July, and August, I like them the best. They're the best time of the year. Unfortunately, I only got out one time for fun this year. Better than zero times for fun in 2020. I don't know, maybe next year I'll get out two times during the middle third for fun. As we go plodding into the next decade with COVID-19 or something like it doing its worst. I hope not, but hey, you know, there's no guarantee here that COVID-19 won't become a permanent thing and have new variants that start defeating your vaccines and all of that. Plus, of course, we also are going to have to go get our booster shots, because it has been, when you're hearing this program, it will have been 6 months since I got my second shot. And Pickles has a couple of more weeks to go here before she's at the 6 month point. And so I'm looking forward to getting another shot because, oh boy, I don't want to die of this stuff. I don't want to get sick of it either. I don't need that.
Well, you're going to have to go get a flu shot too, Artball, because the flu is showing up this season. And this is the, you know, September is when the earliest one should get a flu shot. It's showing up because there was a period where there was travel happening. Things were looking up. And now they're looking down. And you have all these people who won't get vaccinated, won't wear masks. And the flu is circulating too. So,
yep. And, of course, the kids under 12 can't get vaccinated yet. And there are all these fights about having, as we said before, about having the kids wear masks. And the kids are a real vector in influenza. The kids really spread it around because you got a bunch of school kids hanging out at once. They're not thinking about vectors or spreading disease. They're just being kids, and That's a very effective way of spreading stuff, which we know from things like chickenpox. And so since COVID-19 is more contagious, more infectious than chickenpox, that's pretty effective. But influenza spreads too. So, yeah, I'm going to have to get a booster shot and my flu shot for this year. Well, I'll be going out again sometime this month or next month. Whenever the VA says I can get my shots, I'm going to get my damn shots. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And in other really big news, the Texas abortion ban. Oh, boy. Yeah, of course, Texas, they finally got their very awful bill passed into law in Texas. It basically says you can't get an abortion after there's a fetal heartbeat. And that's like 6 weeks. But there's no heart yet. So anyway, it's all political. It's an attempt to make it so that no woman can ever get an abortion. And the Supreme Court, which was appointed specifically to do this, to overturn Roe v. Wade, has voted 5-4 not to bother. They're not going to bother with this. It's obviously unconstitutional for them to do that. Anybody who reads knows it goes against the Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade. And the current Supreme Court says, oh, no, it's okay. They can do that. We're not going to bother with this. 5-4. Chief Justice John Roberts broke with the rest of the court's 6-member right-wing bloc. And he joined the 3 sane members of the court in dissent. Justice Sonia Sotomayor, in a written dissent, described the Texas law as a, quote, breathtaking act of defiance, unquote. And it's a defiance of Supreme Court precedent and of women's rights. She also wrote, quote, the court's order is stunning, presented with an application to enjoin a flagrantly unconstitutional law engineered to prohibit women from exercising their constitutional rights and evade judicial scrutiny, majority of justices have opted to bury their heads in the sand, unquote. And that's considered a pretty hard smack at the rest of the Supreme Court there.
Yeah, those heads aren't buried in the sand, but it's more dignified to say it the way the justice did.
I guess that's true. But yeah, I mean, this is... It's just engineered. And plus, a part of how they do it is the government doesn't enforce anything. They allow any citizen to go do stuff. So, and this is in Texas where everybody's got a gun. And so they are now empowering people to even anonymously go after other people and start fingering people. Now, we've seen things like the anti-mask and anti-vaxxer cuckoos showing up, and they get violent after a short bit, a lot of them, and then you see them act on as well. I'm sure that this sort of thing, this violence, is probably going to happen too. It won't be just that people will be getting sued for having gone to get an abortion or told somebody where to get one or driven somebody. I mean, it's a very loose law. You can get almost anybody on this law. And I'm sure that besides suing them, they'll also physically assault them.
This is the state's seal of approval on vigilantism.
Yes, exactly.
That's what
it is. Yeah. And so
because life is only sacred before it's born.
Yes. Actually, I had somebody say that to me once.
For real.
It was an anti-abortion creep, and he was saying, and yes, how did he put it? He put it, even if it's a gay fetus, it has a right to live and all of that. Except after that, it's born. Then it doesn't anymore. So I'm, oh,
whoa.
Really? He just, you know, I don't know how you know if there's a gay fetus. I don't know how that works. But he basically said, yeah, but after you're born and you're gay, you don't have a right to exist anymore. So this does reflect some mentalities on that side of this issue. Yeah. And President Biden has issued a statement, and he said that the law from Texas, quote, blatantly violates the constitutional right, unquote, established by Roe v. Wade. So this is what the right wing has been aiming for. This is what Trump accomplished. This is what they all wanted him to do. And he's doing it. He's out, but he's doing it. This is Mitch McConnell, who refused to allow Obama's pick for the Supreme Court to even get a hearing. And yeah, that's these people. I think, and I've thought this for decades, that the issue of abortion is one that is polarizing enough that it alone could cause an actual civil war in the United States of America. And that may happen, especially now that things are so very politicized and so very polarizing. And it's, you know, there's this thing about this anti-abortion law, and there are there's stuff about the COVID-19 and other issues. And yeah, I mean, we could end up with some real shooting going on here in America, and who knows how the hell that's going to work out. We just have to hope we don't get a Republican in there very soon with his finger on the nuclear football. You know, might solve all of his problems by blowing away New York City. Could happen. You know, it could happen. And this idiot, the QAnon shaman, we hear. His real name is Jacob Chansley. He's going to plead guilty. Now, this hasn't happened just yet. We heard it's going to happen. And, of course, maybe by the time this program gets in the air, it will have happened. But we'll see if this guy gets a good long sentence. He should. He should go to prison for like 20 to 40 years, I think. And over 600 people have been arrested so far. Unfortunately, the ones they've dealt with so far are taking pleas and getting very light sentences. Some of them are in jail for some months, and they get time served, stuff like that. This Chansley fool is—he's been in jail, and his lawyer keeps trying to get him out. But he's been in jail, and I think even he said, "Oh, gee, I guess I screwed up." But he's been in jail, and I hope they don't say, "Okay, time served for this moron." I hope he gets decades in prison for this. And I hope the rest of them do, too. If they have to build a new prison, let them build a new prison for the January 6th insurrectionists. They should all be charged with murder. And that's what should happen. Oh, well. Anyway, so one of the morons who's, oh, yeah, we're this, that, and the other thing, has caved completely and shown that they really don't have the courage of their convictions. So we've been watching some stuff on TV here in this past fortnight, and one of the things that Pickles noticed was an advertisement for a particular diabetes medication. It's called Trulicity, and the deal with this is that there's this young Olympic athlete, and she's the main person on the commercial. She doesn't have diabetes, of course. She's in great health. Her father, however, does have diabetes, and they focus on him a little bit, and they talk about how great their diabetes medication is. Well, Pickles of the North noticed something about this.
Yes, I always try and read the fine print for all the drug commercials. And it says for this man, they show him he's getting water, he's eating healthy, he's walking along, and they've got him dressed in the colors of the their advertising for the drug, because that's what they do in all the drug commercials. You know, if their color scheme for the drug is purple, they wear purple or yellow or pink or whatever. And this fine print says, yes, he has diabetes. No, he's not taking this drug. To treat it, which seems so odd, because the fine print says for his daughter, you know, a fine Olympic athlete, paid endorser to be hired to advertise this drug, but her dad isn't even taking this drug as part of his treatment. So that's really interesting. I guess she wanted her dad to be in the commercial and so he would make some money too, but wow, that is odd.
I don't know that it's because of what she wants. I suspect it's the drug company that's doing it, because they need a prop. He's a prop. They bring him in and here's this guy with diabetes, and then they talk about how great their stuff is, and he's walking around, moving around, doing things, he looks okay. It kind of implies that taking their medication makes it so that he's okay.
It completely implies that.
Yeah, it's deceptive advertising of an interesting sort. Pickles of the North, of course, is able to read these fine print things on a lot of advertisements on TV. I can't see well enough anymore to see that stuff. Sometimes I can see that there is fine print, but I can't tell what the hell it says. But she can read a lot of this, and there are some very interesting things in the fine print of various advertisements on TV.
Now, at least for this ad, you really can read it. If you can read smaller stuff, it's big enough, and it's stays there long enough for you so you can read it. Some of the other ones, like the ones say, oh, call us, you're going to get lots of extra benefits for your Medicare, blah, 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 blah. That stuff goes by so fast, often you can't read it. Oh, and for all the herbal remedies male problems, you can't read any of that stuff because it's opaque and teeny weeny and zip, zip, zip goes by.
They give you this paragraph. They have like 100 words or more squeezed into the bottom 10% of the screen, and it stays up for like 3/4 of a second, and then it's gone. People generally can't read that stuff. They can't even, people like me can't even see it. So yeah, this is false advertising in my opinion. And really, it's kind of shocking that the Trulicity people are allowed to get away with this. Well, as advertised, this is the 35th anniversary program. Oh, this is the 35th anniversary of Back of the Book being on the air. The program actually started on September 8th, 1986. And yeah, this is as close as we're going to get, I think, because this is the first Saturday in September, and that's what we got then. First Saturday in September 1986, we went on the air. And we were on for 2 hours every other week until November 2010, when an incompetent moved us to here at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning and cut an hour off our program. Yeah, we used to be on at 1 to 3 on Sunday night into Monday morning. And in the 35 years, we've covered all sorts of issues, from drunken mice to firsthand descriptions of the smell of the pile, as they called it, after 9/11. Yeah, that was really something. We'll probably talk about that more next week when it will be 9/11. And, you know, that odor stayed around for us, and we didn't get to go on. In fact, the general manager at the time didn't like us. A lot of management doesn't like us. The general manager at the time didn't like us, and so kept the entire radio station from broadcasting regularly for an extra weekend in order to make it so that we didn't get on, and we only got on 2 weeks after that. So, oh, boy. Yeah. Anyway, but still, when we got there for that, we could smell it. It was terrible. And we described it on the air because it was in the studio. We didn't have to go anywhere else to smell it. We used to play some music on the program, but we got away from that because people want to hear us talking. We know this from having done this for a while. What a lot of people want, especially at the hours we started out at, 1 to 3 o'clock on a Monday morning, a lot of people listening to radio want to know that there's another live voice. There's a heartbeat at the other end of that microphone. And so that's what we were doing when we would talk and we would do whatever. And so we got away from doing more music, and it became much more talk oriented, and we did that. And so, yeah, we became just talk pretty much. And again, covering a lot of issues. And we also took phone calls for a while, and we did that, but there's no way to screen calls at BAI, and the trolls were taking up too much airtime, really. You would get people, they would do all the stuff that they try to do that you hear on other programs. And at BAI, since there's no screening, they can get in. And all you can do is hit a button to dump everything. If somebody says a naughty word, we're not allowed to say. And that's it. So there were issues with that, and it were just too many of them. And I said, I'm getting sort of away from this. And we used to get a lot of mail. We used to get a great deal of mail. And then when we got switched to 5 a.m. on a Saturday, reflecting the fact, I believe, that our listenership dropped, we got vastly less mail. By the way, you can email me. I am rpm@glib.com. That's rpm@glib.com. You can send us snail mail, but we're not going to be able to pick it up. From what I'm told, we have mail at BAI, but we can't get it. And I suspect we have a book. We were told we had a book that came in a while back. I suspect that's been stolen or thrown away. But anyway, yes, management really respects our mail rights. Anyway, so we don't take up, we don't do phone calls anymore. And of course, now we are doing it this way. We have to pre-record. And part of the program early on, back in the mid-80s, it was going to feature my quest for a girlfriend after having been exclusively homosexual for my entire life. And we went into that kind of stuff for a bit. We did talk about that. However, mere months before the program started, before it first aired in September of 86, I got together with the Evil More Lab. And, okay, so we weren't talking about R. Paul trying to find somebody to get together with. I was with somebody. And that relationship lasted for about 3 years. And then I was alone again. And then I was able to talk about I wish I had a girlfriend and I wish this, that, and the other thing and all of this. And I was exploring my bisexuality and at least verbally. That's going to meetings and talking to people. Not that people then came running up and said, oh, yeah, we want to do stuff with you, Arpo. No, it was verbal. And so, yeah, we did all of that. And I had been the chief steward in the union at WBAI starting in 1987. And then in 1997, January of 1997, I met the person who had become my wife and would be in 1998 someone who would metamorphose into radio's Pickles of the North and join me on this radio program. And there she is now. Hello, my dear.
Hello, my dear.
And so, yes, we went through all that kind of stuff where I was whining about things. I had the 1994 Spring Offensive, which lasted for years. It lasted for 3 years before Pickles and I got together. Yeah, I was really successful in meeting a lot of people. Actually, I did meet people, and they were nice, and they liked me, and they were mostly married to somebody. Anyway, we also, of course, talked about various things that happened during these times, the various, we talked about gay rights bill having finally passed before we got on the before this program got on the air. And we talked about, as I did on the last program, gay activism. We, of course, talked about 9/11 because we were on the air a few days before it. And, you know, we went through all of that. And so we talked about that stuff. And we also have had hostility from some managements. And the current odd situation with having to do this program on recording, it makes it difficult because I know that a lot of people, as I said before, a lot of people who listen to the radio at these odd hours, they want to hear a live person. They want to hear that heartbeat at the other end of the microphone. And we can't do that now. I mean, management has locked down the place. Plus, with the Delta variant, and, you know, going from under 2,000 to over 10,000 people dying in a week, we're kind of hesitant about going out there. Plus, of course, you've got the crazy stuff going on. We have to leave to get there live, to get to BAI live. We have to leave at 4 o'clock in the morning. The subways at that time can be dicey even in the before times. And now with all sorts of crazy stuff going on and the insane people being let loose to act out as they please on the subway and elsewhere, we're kind of hesitant to head right back into it just yet. So we got two reasons for keeping on doing it this way. And then plus there's another thing of we can't get in because of our time slot. We can't get into the building to do a live program. So we're going to hope that we can stay around here. We want to stay around, hope that things get better. Hope we can go back live at some point. And of course, we have a tradition here on Back of the Book. We do a reading of The Parable Before the Law by Franz Kafka. And we did it on the very first Back of the Book radio program. And we do it every anniversary program. And so we're going to do it right now. I'm going to read Before the Law by Franz Kafka. Before the Law. Before the law stands a doorkeeper. To this doorkeeper there comes a man from the country, and prays for admittance to the law. But the doorkeeper says that he cannot grant admittance at the moment. The man thinks it over, and then asks if he will be allowed in later.
It is possible, says the doorkeeper, but not at the moment.
Since the gate stands open, as usual, and the doorkeeper steps to one side, the man stoops to peer through the gateway into the interior. Observing that, the doorkeeper laughs and says,
If you are so drawn to it, just try to go in, despite my veto. But take note, I am powerful, and I am only the least of the doorkeepers. From hall to hall, there is one doorkeeper after another, each more powerful than the last. The third doorkeeper is already so terrible that even I cannot bear to look at him.
These are difficulties the man from the country has not expected. The law, he thinks, should surely be accessible at all times and to everyone. But as he now takes a closer look at the doorkeeper in his fur coat with his big, sharp nose and long, thin, black Tartar beard, he decides that it is better to wait until he gets permission to enter. The doorkeeper gives him a stool and lets him sit down at one side of the door. There he sits for days and years. He makes many attempts to be admitted, and wearies the doorkeeper by his importunity. The doorkeeper frequently has little interviews with him, asking him questions about his home and many other things, but the questions are put indifferently, as great lords put them, and always finish with the statement that he cannot be let in yet. The man, who has furnished himself with many things for his journey, sacrifices all he has, however valuable, to bribe the doorkeeper. The doorkeeper accepts everything, but always with the remark,
I am only taking it to keep you from thinking
you have omitted anything. During these many years, the man fixes his attention almost continuously on the doorkeeper. He forgets the other doorkeepers, and this first one seems to him the sole obstacle preventing access to the law. He curses his bad luck. In his early years, boldly and loudly. Later, as he grows old, he only grumbles to himself. He becomes childish, and since, in his years-long contemplation of the doorkeeper, he has come to know even the fleas in his fur collar, he begs the fleas as well to help him and to change the doorkeeper's mind. At length, his eyesight begins to fail, and he does not know whether the world is really darker or whether his eyes are only deceiving him. Yet, in his darkness, he is now aware of a radiance that streams inextinguishably from the gateway of the law. Now, he has not very long to live. Beef himself in his head to one point, a question he has not yet asked the doorkeeper. He waves him nearer, since he can no longer raise his stiffening body. The doorkeeper has to bend low toward him, for the difference in height between them has altered much to the man's disadvantage.
"What do you want to know now?" asks the doorkeeper. "You are insatiable."
"Everyone strives to reach the law," says the man. "So how does it happen that for all these many years no one but myself has ever begged for admittance?"
The doorkeeper recognizes that the man has reached his end, and, to let his failing senses catch the words, roars in his ear,
"No one else could ever be admitted here, since this gate was made only for you. I am now going to shut it."
Here we are for 35 years, and it's I hope we did it justice. I mean, it's not spectacular. We can't do a clip show on it because almost everything is on cassettes, and we can't get a cassette machine to work to dub off anything anymore. Anyway, there we are. Okay, that's the end of our 35th anniversary program. And of course, this means we're starting our 36th year of Back of the Book on WBAI. Thanks to all of you who listen. And thanks to anybody also who has donated when we were pitching. And we'll be back next week. And it'll be 9/11, and we'll certainly be talking about that, among other things. Coming up next is
Ralph Nader Radio Hour. And after that, at 7, Jim Boyne's Hour of the Wolf.
All about science fiction stuff. Enjoy late summer. And above all, remember what that reminiscing and glad Pickles of the North is here Dormouse said.
In your head and dead on your feet, well, another crazy day. You'll drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so
tune in to WBAI Playhouse Saturday, September 4th at 8 p.m. for a Labor Day radio special, a musical adaptation of Studs Terkel's Working.
Curiosity did not kill this cat.
Terkel roamed the country speaking to people about their jobs.
I was fine until we had this office party. I'd be having a fairly intelligent conversation with someone, and then they'd ask me what I did. When I'd say, "I'm a receptionist," they'd make an excuse and walk away.
I always knew I was going to be an iron worker. My older brothers were iron workers, my father was an iron worker, so it was a natural course of events.
I was 15. I was sitting in a coffee shop when a friend came by and said, "Hurry up, I've got a cab waiting. You can make $100 in 20 minutes.
I've been parking cars for 32 years. Some people enjoy tennis. I enjoy work.
I'm going to get as much money as I can from this company. Then I'm going to move and get more money.
My father was very disappointed. I didn't go to college.
Conversations were compiled into a book and then produced into a play on Broadway. That's Working by the great Studs Terkel, Saturday, 8 p.m. on WBAI New York.
Greetings. Delegate elections are underway, and you are invited to leave a voicemail on 510-993-0320 with your questions and comments for candidates running to represent you on the local station board. We will invite all candidates to respond to your questions and produce an on-air election forum. Visit elections.pacifica.org for more.